inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. All through my city.
Jerry Bader Show, 10:35. Talking about, to me, just the heart-wrenching story of 14-year-old Jerrica Bolin. Made the decision to end treatment for a horrible disease. She passed away yesterday. In advance of that, there were national disabled rights groups that wanted child services here in Wisconsin. She was from Appleton to intervene. I do see dangers here of the decision to end a life. Again, not really assisted suicide, but letting, as a caller put it, nature take its course. That there can be those that could force this decision on anyone, even an adult, let alone a 14-year-old child. However, I this is an excellent email before we take another call. 888-455-1360. David writes, intractable, unremitting, unresponsive to treatment, severe pain is something even a small child understands. This kind of pain will drive anyone at any age to consider suicide. This is a very private decision between a mother and child. From someone outside the circle of intense suffering, to intervene or place conditions is simply meddling. To Barb in Green Bay. Barb, go ahead.
Good morning. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I had my two parents discontinue extraordinary means within a matter of about a decade apart. And they were very well taken care of. They were loved. But the suffering in their own body that they dealt with every day was too much. And they realized that this was the way they expressed it to me, is that death is a normal part, a course of life. And they were just going to allow themselves, allow their body to take its course. And I think that's what she did. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. She described her pain level as between an 8 and a 10 every day with no outlook of that being relieved.
And only she, not even her mom, knows what that pain was.
Exactly. And you know, I just think that people at times can get to the point where they think that someone living is more important than anything, no matter what it takes. And I think that ethically, maybe that's going a little too far to make someone live no matter what. And instead of letting their body just take its natural course and do what it's designed to do in some of those circumstances to relieve that suffering, with an understanding for many people that there's something better beyond this physical body.
Barb, thanks a lot for the call. 888-455-1360. Now, this isn't the same thing, but it'll be 10 years ago in July that my dad passed, and congestive heart failure finally caught up with him. He was 89 years old. He was in hospice, and I'm not revealing here anything that I think a lot of people don't already know. So at that point, they start providing oral morphine drops for relief. Okay, the more drops, the more quickly the end comes. And I will tell you, I told a nurse administering, I said, give him all the morphine you want. At that point, I mean, it was minute to minute. Dad was about to pass. Anything that eased his pain at that point, I can live with. There are, as I said, and I think a caller made a good point. I think there needs to be protocols in place to make sure this is indeed either adult or child, that it's their decision. But as I said earlier, there's a libertarian part of me that if you are in absolutely unbearable pain, that means you can't bear it anymore. I think it is a personal decision. Matt in Appleton. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, Jerry. I just think that the people that tried to intervene and have the government keep her alive ought to be ashamed of themselves. This is a personal issue. It's an issue. They need to butt out. It's almost a disgrace. It just makes me mad. And I'm sorry for the girl. I'm sorry for her family. And I'm glad to know she's in peace now.
Matt, thanks a lot for the call. And, yeah, and that, you know, certainly our condolences to the Boland family. It's a terrible, it's always terrible to lose a child. This is a tremendous loss. This is as tremendous a loss for her family as the loss of any child is. And I said something during the break to Earl. Wouldn't but we all wish that we could go with the grace, courage, and dignity that Jerrica Boland did? To Nate in Weston. Nate, go ahead.
Hi, Jerry. Thanks for taking my call. I'd just like to say that, well, I'm going to grad school to study public administration, so this is something that fits into my wheelhouse. The first duty of the government is to protect life, because without life, all of the liberties, all of the freedoms that we have don't amount to much. I have nothing but the deepest sympathy for the family, but if we do permit the government or personal choice or personal death advocates to allow right to die legislation or right to die conversation to get more into the mainstream, I really fear that this is going to be a loss for our nation, because without rights or without the government so forcefully protecting life, this is a slippery slope that could lead back to euthanasia or forced euthanasia for those in a potential police state situation.
I think that's a legitimate concern, as I stated earlier. Where I'm conflicted on this, Nate, is what life were they protecting? She hated her life. She is in constant pain at a scale of 8 to 10. What would they have been protecting on her behalf to stop this?
This is one of those situations where they're really, where I don't see any win for anybody. Because if we do permit even one person to continue to do this, then the question starts to evolve and to broaden into other areas.
You will see people try to do that. Nate, I'm not going to disagree with you that that's a danger. But as a parent who tried and continues to try, even as they're adults, to keep their children from harm, I'm not going to judge Jerrica or her mom. Thanks for the call. To Jake on the road. Jake, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Jerry.
Morning.
You know, instances like this, I'd almost feel better if there was a group of physicians that said, yes, this is a legitimate disease where it would be allowed, especially with a child that's this young. You know, with your father, you know, he's been through life. He knows what pain is. He knows what isn't. But for a child, you know, 13, 14 years old, how many times do you hear about a 13, 14-year-old girl commit suicide because a boyfriend broke up with her, and that was the worst thing ever, the most painful thing she ever felt in her life. But in the grand scheme of things, that's nothing. So, I mean, I don't know, this disease this little girl had may have been the most painful thing, and it may have been right for this, but in cases where there's diseases that aren't that bad, I'd like a doctor to say, yes, this is something that turns out is 10, and it is extreme. And it's not just the child being a child, to protect the child from themselves, essentially.
Jake, thanks for the call. Here's what I would say in addition to that. And again, thanks for the call. What I would say in addition to that is I don't necessarily have a problem with some type of protocol to make sure this is the wishes of the person and that, yes, their pain is just that bad. But, you know, it's you could go a thousand ways on arguing. Here's an email. I realize there is no easy answer here. We're correct when we talk about quality of life in this case. The question is, who defines the quality of life? If I am, I can be convinced that it should end. If God is, then as long as I can live, I have work to do. The dance held for her was an inspiration for so many. This person was there, by the way. She refused to see how she could make a difference. You said you don't know what quality she could have. She didn't know. Her mom didn't know. God did. Well, here's what I would say to that, Martin. Then she's going to have to answer to God. That's my response to that. To Melissa in Combined Locks. Melissa, go ahead.
Hi, Jerry. My name is Melissa, and I'm a social worker for hospice.
Yes, go ahead.
So I see I'm with people every day, mm-hmm. you know, who make these choices. We have people on hospice of all ages, even infants, you know, who deal with these problems.
Sure.
You know, and, you know, nobody chooses to have, you know, these chronic conditions or illnesses. You know, it's not our choice to have, you know, what God gives us. And so, but it is our choice to deal with how we're going to handle them situations, you know, and it's really not fair for other people to step in and say, you know, this is how you should deal with it. It's all personal choice and it's all family, you know, and it's, that's just a shame that other people are stepping in and telling this family what they did or what they did right or wrong. You know, I deal with those families every day. And if you don't think that this isn't difficult for them on any level, mentally, emotionally, physically, you've got another thing coming, because it is.
Well, and that's a great point, Melissa, and I tried to stress that. If you watched any TV coverage of this, this was a loving mom. This woman would, you know, she would love to have her child around forever and ever. But,
exactly.
But she also wants her child to be happy. And someone made a previous, I think it was just the last call, but yeah, I mean, there, I do think there's potentially a slippery slope here. I think there are safeguards, though, that we can put in place. Melissa, thanks a lot for the call. But I mean, I don't take that lightly, that this can be abused. I don't take that lightly at all. I do disagree with the national groups in this case. I remember just being moved, and I wasn't at the dance, but I saw the TV coverage of it. I thought it was an amazing thing. And I'm going to tell you, in this case, and I think this is where we get into the one-size-fits-all, I think in this case, letting the mom and Jerrica decide was the right decision. Tom and Appleton, go ahead.
Yeah, Jerry, the question I got is, what's the difference between what she did and what somebody might do with a living will? If I have no means of getting cured or revived or anything, and I decide I don't want to have artificial means applied, that's my choice. Well, her choice was, there's no cure. I don't want to have artificial means keeping me going forever and ever with this pain.
What they tried to bring up, the difference is that she was a minor. And my response to that is, but her mom consented to it. You would admit this time, there are a lot of things we don't let a 14-year-old decide for themselves.
Well, that's true.
You know, and I think, that's a good point, Earl. Thanks a lot for the call. Mom, this isn't something mom wanted to do. Nobody wants to see their child die at age 14. What I'm saying is the concerns that some emailers and callers are raising are valid. This can be abused by others. People can be talked into, they're desperate. But I saw an email briefly, Earl, that no evidence she was depressed. She actually, given the conditions, seemed to be in about the best spirits that you could be. She just faced reality, which oftentimes is never easy for any of us in any issue. Chuck in Manitowoc. Chuck, go ahead.
Good morning, Jerry.
Morning.
My heart goes out to the mother, family, friends that knew her. My brother died when he was killed in a truck accident when he was 15 back in 75. And I watched how my parents declined after that. It is hard when you have to bury your own child. It's hard for me, too. But when you said something about her having to answer to God, I think God, being the all-loving God and forgiving God, he would have to forgive her.
Well, Chuck, that's my point. If there is any reckoning, and I don't know that there is, but if there is, it's his. You know, that's exactly my point. I mean, this is tough, but let me leave it with this. It's kind of a movie scenario. Earl, if you and I are in a car and we get in an accident and I'm trapped and the car is in flames and I can't get out and I was carrying my gun and I toss it out through the window and said, do what you got to do. Okay, that would be really tough, right? It feels that way now. You don't hear me screaming, burning to death. Might still be tough for you. It'd be tough for me. Should anyone judge you? If you're able to pull the trigger, should anyone, and this goes way beyond what happened here. This is apples and oranges. It's not the same thing. I know that. I'm being extreme to make a point here. Okay? Should you be charged with murder? I say absolutely not. And that's why I set it up where I have to toss you the gun. And I think anyone would consider that a humane act. We're out in the middle of nowhere. Ain't nobody coming to get me out. I'm dead. I'm already dead. And that's a much more extreme position to make my case. I don't have a problem with what happened here. We have to make Packer picks. Almost forgot. 10:52.
Follow Jerry on Twitter. Go to jerrybatershow.com.